Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So, listen, we got a lot of compelling storylines in the NFL this weekend as we head into the divisional round of the playoffs, beginning at Arrowhead Stadium, where Patrick Mahomes attempts to handle the pressure cooker that is the NFL playoffs. We've seen in the playoffs so far, Deshaun Watson vomit all over the field while giving the first down gesture. Hey, I got a first down by 21 points. The Texans got a first down. What a dope. Lamar Jackson, who looks like he should be playing junior college football somewhere rather than the NFL the first three quarters of that game against the Chargers. But as far as this weekend, can Patrick Mahomes handle the pressure of Kansas City? Does Nick Foles have another rabbit he can pull out of his Eagles helmet? Tom Brady trying to find the Patriots' fountain of youth again against the Chargers in the New England Arctic. It's going to be under 30 degrees on Sunday in Foxborough, but they've taken the snow out of the forecast. The most interesting subplot is in Los Angeles this weekend. Rams, Cowboys. Now, do you know what it is? Do you know what the angle is here that is the most interesting thing about that game? I want to see if you're on the same wavelength that I'm on. Let's see if we've connected our minds together. What is it? It is the curious case of Sean McVay versus Jason Garrett. Like, you have the players on the field, which obviously will actually decide the game, but the coaching part of this is fascinating to me. The X's and O's battle royale, the strategy part of it, the Rams coach, Sean McVay, is in his second playoff appearance here. And against America's team, it's going to be the big game on Fox. You know it's the big game because Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are doing it. They're not doing the game on Sunday. They're doing the game on Saturday night in L.A. That's the game that Fox thinks is going to get the biggest rating this weekend. Otherwise, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be at Philadelphia and New Orleans. They're not. They expect Rams and Cowboys to be the biggest game this weekend. So we understand that. But I want to frame it this way. The story within the story here, and the question is this. Rams-Cowboys, is it a bigger game for Sean McVay or a bigger game for Jason Garrett, knowing that the winner is a win away from the Super Bowl? You're in the conference championship game. So, now, the answer here is McVay all day. It is a bigger game for Sean McVay, and it's not even close. It's not even close. We've got the plot twist, the sock puppet, and the express train. And we will tie all this together. Now, A, Sean McVay, this is one thing that every man, woman, and child can agree with, it, like the NFL, even a little bit. Sean McVay is the chosen one. Sean McVay is the golden boy of the NFL. It was not supposed to be this way. When he got hired, everyone was like, oh, the Rams hiring a millennial. What are the Rams doing? And in the span of a couple years, McVay, he has everything the NFL wants. Youth, good looks. He's had success offensively, offensive genius. He fixed a failed, broken quarterback, Jared Goff, who looked like he should be working at a country club rather than playing in the NFL, and has become a productive top 10 quarterback in the league, Jared Goff, over the last couple of years. So McVay is living the dream. You cannot turn on state-run NFL programming or any of the auxiliary channels that cover the NFL. If you consume media, there's nowhere you can go where McVay is not the most important person that they talk about. When you talk about the Rams, it's Sean McVay. It's not Todd Gurley. It's not Jared Goff. It's all about Sean McVay. NFL talking has loved to rhapsodize. They love to go on and sing the praises of this guy, Sean McVay. I can't get enough of him. Now, more importantly, McVay is fawned over by owners. Right? If Sean McVay was available this offseason, there were 8 coaching jobs that are open. Apparently, there's only one left, the Miami Dolphins. But if McVay had been available as a free agent, who would have gone after him? At least half the teams we know, because they hired disciples of Sean McVay. All right? I mean, you go down the list here, and it's like, well, we try to get somebody in the Sean McVay mold. And so that's what they were trying to do. But listen, McVay, it is pure madness what has gone on here with Cliff Kingsbury, with the Cardinals, because, hey, he once had lunch with Sean McVay, right? Zach Taylor has apparently been selected. It hasn't been officially announced, but it's being reported that Zach Taylor, who is the Rams quarterback coach, is going to be the head coach of the Bengals, which will make people clamor for Marvin Lewis to come back. Matt LaFleur, who used to coach with the Rams, is now the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And in some roundabout way, because of the quarterback whisper angle, which everyone likes to repeat here, it's the popular term, this coaching circle, that Adam Gase was hired by the Jets, in part, not necessarily because he knew Sean McVay, but Peyton Manning called the Jets owner. But it's really about that, you know, he's still a younger guy. He was supposed to be Sean McVay. Adam Gase was supposed to be what Sean McVay has become, but it didn't happen. And it's not going to happen with the Jets. But here's the thing. This is the rub. The dream that Sean McVay is living right now will become a nightmare in the snap of a game on Sunday, or Saturday night, rather, in L.A. at the Coliseum. Sean McVay's on notice. Consider this a friendly sports talk radio warning. You better beat the Cowboys. You have to beat the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't want to overstate this in hyperbole, but if you start your coaching career 0-2 in the postseason with both losses coming at home in games you're favored by a touchdown in, you know what that is? Myth-busting is what that is. And the same people who are licking your toes with effervescent praise are going to turn on you in a dime. Right to your face, the same people, Sean McVay. This plot twist, the fairy tale turns into a horror flick if McVay loses to the Cowboys on Saturday. He desperately needs to get that playoff win on Saturday for verification, for confirmation that all of this early success in the regular season is not an illusion. Right? We know, listen, coaches and players are ultimately judged by what teams do in the postseason. This is a placement test for Sean McVay and the Rams. He failed the first one. So we'll give him a mulligan. How many mulligans do you give Sean McVay? Now, he has been compared to some of the greats in NFL coaching circles. The problem is those guys won early in their career. Bill Belichick's first playoff game was with the Cleveland Browns, and they beat the New England Patriots. When Belichick was in Cleveland, they won a wild card game against the Patriots. I believe Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback. Vince Lombardi lost his first playoff game. You know what he did after that? He won the next 2 Super Bowls after that. So if Sean McVay wants to win the next 2 Super Bowls, I'm good with that. How about Bill Walsh? Bill Walsh, the legend of the old 49ers dynasty, he won a Super Bowl, his first playoff appearance. Now, to be fair, that was in a different era of the NFL. Bill Walsh went 2-14 his first season, 6-10 his second season. He wouldn't have made a third season in the NFL today. Now, on the flip side, you got Marty Schottenheimer, who lost his first playoff game. He ended up 5-13 in his playoff career. And the gold standard, Marvin Lewis, who is still holding a shovel, trying to dig his way out of the hole that he dug for himself with the Bengals back in the day. But you get the point. Right, you understand. The trolls, and we know who the trolls are, the trolls will be eating at the flesh of Sean McVay should the Rams stub their toe against the Cowboys. Now, we love the yeah-but mob. The yeah-but mob is going to be very active, right? Yeah, but what has Sean McVay won? He loses. What does he want? Nothing. Yeah, but it's a gimmicky system that won't work in the playoffs. Yeah, but he's been exposed. Blah, 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 blah. All right, now part B of this. Jason Garrett, the reason I'm not going with Garrett, I'm going with McVay, I just laid it out. But Jason Garrett has had the air let out of the pressure balloon. because the Cowboys just won a playoff game. Garrett wasn't likely going to be fired anyway. He's a good soldier. For Jerry Jones, he's a sock puppet. Whatever Jerry Jones wants, this guy does. That's what Jason Garrett does, whatever the owner wants. Now, the Cowboys beating the Seahawks on Wild Card Weekend, that was a pacifier to the fan base. An NFC title game appearance would be even better. But Dallas, should they lose, and they should lose to the Rams on Saturday at the Coliseum, Dallas can sell the fact, well, we were much better with Amari Cooper. And they're going to say, well, we have a full year with Amari Cooper. The ceiling is unbelievably high for this Cowboy team, and they'll add more players and free agency. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. You know how that's going to work. Now, the last word on this, and I believe the Rams win on Saturday. I'm just telling you what's going to happen if they lose. Sean McVay is in danger of becoming the NFL's version of Mike D'Antoni. Should the Rams stumble? Mike D'Antoni has produced some of the great teams in the NBA as far as entertainment. You like offensive basketball. In fact, the D'Antoni system has been stolen by the Golden State Warriors and all these other teams. They mimic what Mike D'Antoni originally brought to the NBA. But when people talk about D'Antoni, they say his teams underachieve in the postseason. When they get there, not the Knicks and Lakers, of course, but the other teams. When they get to the postseason, they underachieve. Now, as for the game, I believe the Rams is going to be close. I believe the Rams will win the game. LA's got the star power that has not provided dividends, and they should start paying dividends in this game. I'm talking about you, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters. I'm pointing my finger at you, and my friend Ndamukong Suh, who blocked me on Twitter because I reported he was going to sign with the Rams, from a listener who gave me the tip. Screw you. Go out and make some plays. How about that? All right, go out and make a few tackles and stop blocking me on Twitter. Yes? Damn right. Absolutely. But the Rams will win, but I'm telling you, if they don't, the floodgates will open. Here's Sean McVay. Let's hear from Sean McVay, by the way. Now, Sean, I just said you're going to win. I'm guessing you think the Rams are not going to win. Is that correct, Coach? You think the Rams are going to lose on Saturday? Is that right?
It's about playing our best football.
Really?
Learning from the things. And then I also think that, you know, being into year two, last year was a great year for us, being able to win the division. Very fortunate to be able to do that again. We have a lot of respect for the Dallas Cowboys, we expect to win this game. I think that confidence is something that's been earned every day by our players, and then we got to go out and prove it on Saturday night against a great opponent.
So is this where I give Sean McVay my lecture that the word best is a generic term used in advertising to mean all the as good as everyone else in that category? So when you say we're the best, play our best, you just have to play as good as everyone else. Because I can say I have the world's best sandwich. How many restaurants? I've been all over the country. I've traveled all over the country, not out of the U.S. really that much. But everywhere I've been, there's a world's best turkey sandwich, pastrami sandwich, burger, hot dog, whatever it might be. World's best fettuccine Alfredo, right? But every town's got one of those. You can say it because you can't get sued because best means as good as all. Anyway, all right, enough. All right, here's one more from Sean McVay. And let's talk about girls. Let's talk about girls. What do you say, Sean McVay?
He looks like Todd. He looks like
he does. Todd Gurley.
Great back that we're accustomed to seeing. He's feeling good. He's had a great week of preparation. You know, we're expecting him to be ready to go, and all things are looking in the very positive direction.
Positive. I like C.J. Anderson, actually. He sucked with these other teams, but he was good. Well, he's good with the Broncos a while ago, but then since then he was like on a prison island somewhere. No, he played with the Raiders and Carolina, but he was in Denver also before. He was actually good with Denver early in his career. You don't remember?
I remember.
It's a bad job by you, Cooper.
No, I thought you were trying to figure out who he went to after that.
No, but he was with Carolina, and I remember he was with the Raiders like a week or two or something like that. Anyway, who cares? But he played well with the Rams. He looked good with the Rams. Edmund Dallas Steamboat Willie. Judas. Solid gold Garcia's right over there.
I know you're reeling from the potential loss Zach Taylor as your
quarterback
coach of the Rams.
I didn't even know who he is. I have no idea who Zach Taylor is. I have no idea.
Well, you're not the only one.
He sounds like he was in a boy band. Doesn't it sound like a name from a boy band?
Kind of, yeah. I went to Google him, and the first Zach Taylor that came up is the fictional character in the Power Rangers universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then we had, of course, the 12th president of the United States, Zachary Taylor.
Sure.
But Zach Taylor, no K, just the C.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't like the C thing.
I did see that his brother, Press Taylor, is the quarterback's coach of the Eagles.
Really?
Yeah. You like that name? Press?
Press Taylor.
Press Tayler.
Isn't that what a tailor does? They that's
dry cleaner?
Dry cleaning, yeah. I guess. Yeah, I don't think a tailor presses. I don't think they do that. Well, congratulations to Zach Taylor. Somebody told me that Andy Furman broke that story. Is that accurate? That was an Andy Furman?
I did hear story? That as well. I didn't.
Our friend Andy Furman,
yeah.
Our colleague here at Fox Sports Radio.
That is a complete load of crap.
Wow. Right.
I want a mature guy.
Yeah, you got Zach Taylor. I don't know how mature he is. He's 35
years
longer,
old. It's bigger.
I don't know about that. That's you. I'll stay away from that.
Two guys is enough for me.
Okay, good for you. Nothing wrong with that.
I'd rather walk around like a woman.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. Will Andy Furman have Zach Taylor race a horse?
He'll try. He'll try.
If he can make a couple of bucks on it, he will.
That's absolutely right.
He will absolutely, yeah. He will absolutely do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So a lot of coaches have been hired. There's only one job technically open. I guess two technically, because Zach Taylor, whoever the hell that is supposed to get the Rams job because he followed around and picked up used tissues that Sean McVay threw to the ground. So he's getting that. That's the common denominator. That he gets the job, the Sean McVay factor, and the Dolphins still have a coach. I would assume the position that the Dolphins will make some kind of leak in the next couple of days and say, hey, here's our coach. Are they going to hire the Patriots defensive coordinator, Brian Flores? Is he going to be the coach? Are they going to do that? We will see. So speaking of what happened, some of things that happened on Thursday, new Bucs coach Bruce Arians chatting about his tenure in Tampa. And the issue of Jameis Winston came up. Now, remember, one of the people that seems to know in Tampa, one of the beliefs by those that in the know, I should say, that's the proper way to say it, is that the old coach, Coach Cutter, he didn't want Winston as his quarterback. That's why they kept going back and forth with the Amish rifle, and which eventually led to his demise, that and a historically bad defense, so it's reasonable to think that that was a possibility, and those that seem to be savvy, that seem to be streetwise, believe that the reason that Bruce Arians, one of the selling points of Bruce Arians getting the job in Tampa was the fact that he was willing to take Jameis Winston on. Well, essentially what Bruce Arians said was that Jameis Winston is not the brightest light bulb. That's essentially what he said. I don't know if you saw this or not. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'll catch you up. So here's the quote from Bruce Arians, the new coach in Tampa. He said, no pressure whatsoever. When you start a sentence by saying no pressure whatsoever, you're then about to provide pressure 100% of the time. We have the audio. Okay. See, rather than me pretend to be Bruce Arians, I do wear those funny hats like Bruce. I like that cabbie hat. They call it a cabbie hat, right? I have a couple of those now. I'm upping my cap game is what I'm doing. Absolutely. All right, anyway, let's go to the audio tape. Here's Bruce Arians, the quote I am referring to, Bruce Arians talking about Jameis Winston.
No pressure whatsoever.
No.
I want him to relax and play the game. Talent's no issue. It's just becoming a little bit smarter. He's going to be coached as well, I think, as he's ever been and more prepared than he's ever been. It's his team. And I'll tell our players in the first meeting, this isn't my team. It's your team. We'll be as good as you want to be.
Think of the arrogance in that statement. Bruce Arians is God's gift. Can we play that again? I didn't hear that last part. Listen to Bruce Arians. You talk about a cocky individual. Listen to this guy. Man.
No pressure whatsoever. I want him to relax and play the game. Talent's no issue. It's just becoming a little bit smarter. He's going to be coached as well, I think, as he's ever been and more prepared than he's ever been. It's his team. And I'll tell our players in the first meeting, this isn't my team. It's your team. We'll be as good as you want to be.
Well, see, that sounded bad, but technically he said he'll be coached as well as he's ever been coached. It sounds like he's saying better, but he said as well. Didn't it sound like he was attacking Lovie Smith and Dirk Cutter? It sounded to me like he was attacking those two guys. But the money part of that quote was the line there that talent is no issue. It's just becoming a little bit smarter. He's questioning the intelligence of Jameis Winston. So let's engage here. Let's talk about this. The question is, what do you make of Bruce Arians assessment of Jameis Winston, the football player. Now, number one, it's honest, right? Bruce Arians knows, even though he won't admit it, he is walking in to a pit of snakes that haven't eaten in a while and like to eat human flesh. He is doomed, right? As a coach, he is married to Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston stinks, Bruce Arians does not have a 10-year run in Tampa. He's got 4 years tops, and likely only three, and maybe only two as coach of the Buccaneers. So Bruce Arians also understands that Jameis Winston makes boneheaded plays. For every laser that he throws downfield, where you say, oh my God, I can't believe he threw that. That's a great pass. I wish he was my quarterback. For every one of those plays, watching the Bucs over the last couple of years, and Winston's been there, 4 years now in Tampa, you cannot win consistently. You can't do it. Can't win with him. Cannot do it. With guys that make those kind of plays, for every great throw that he has a brain fart. You cannot win and become a postseason team with that kind of performance.
Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
There's a reason that the Buccaneers, since Winston took over, have won 6, 9, 5, and 5 games. Yeah, that is not the good, as they like to say. So, now Winston's played 56 games. 56 games in his NFL career. He started 54 of them. And he's got 88 touchdown passes, which sounds pretty good. 88 touchdown passes in 56 games. Could be better. He also has, how many interceptions do you think Winston has in 56 games, really? The answer is 58. How many fumbles does Jameis Winston have? 38 fumbles. So let's do the math on that. Using Mather math, 58 and 38, that gets us to 96 turnovers. Now, remember, fumbles, not all those were lost, but every time you fumble, in theory, both teams have an equal opportunity of getting the football, so it's a fumble. It's an opportunity for a turnover. So that is a mind-blowing number. 96 turnovers in 56 games. That works out to almost 2 turnovers by one person per game in Jameis Winston. Now, number two, every quarterback in the NFL is uber talented. So before those call up and say, oh, but he's you can put up with the turnovers because he's built like Adonis and he can throw the ball 70 yards and all that. Zip it, right? Because some are more talented than others, but that's doesn't matter. All these guys, if you're an NFL starting quarterback outside of Jacksonville and a couple other places, you can make all the throws, as they say. The cliche goes. So the most important thing is what? Decision-making, right? Knowing when to hold it, when to throw it, getting rid of the ball quicker. Now, sometimes you can get a little better. Look at Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck had been terrible, dreadful for years, and Frank Reich comes in, they make a couple of adjustments, and suddenly Andrew Luck has been much better at the things we used to criticize him, at least on this show, we used to rip him apart for. He's been much better this season than he had been early in his career. So you can improve a little bit, but there are limitations to it. The most important thing is decision-making, where to throw the ball, when not to throw the ball. And I don't know how much better. Winston's been around 4 years now. How much better is he going to get? Even if Winston makes good decisions for a while and gets off to a good start, when times get tough, when things go sideways and upside down and topsy-turvy and all that, that is when the bad instincts pop back up. And it's like, well, he's great during the regular season. Then they get in a playoff game and something goes wrong. And then the next thing you know, whoop, turn over there, turn over there, turn over there, turn over there. All right, last thing here. Now, Bruce Arians intimated that he would only come out of retirement for the right quarterback situation. This is not it. This is not the right quarterback situation. So he was a liar. Now, famous Jameis is going to give him heartburn. This is going to be coaching on a tightrope with Winston, and he's got to make it work. The unpredictable play of Jameis Winston, while it might get a little better, I still expect an erratic quarterback to show up. And this idea that Winston is going to ascend Doesn't mean he's going to descend. I believe we know exactly what Jameis Winston is. On a game-to-game basis, he is a hit-or-miss quarterback. On a play-to-play basis, right? Like a seesaw, back and forth. You don't know which one you're going to get. All right, Ben Maller's show on Fox. Now, meanwhile, we got other stuff going on in the NFL. A friend of the show in the days before Roberto worked on our show, we were big fans around here of Chuck Pagano, the old Colts coach Chuck Pagano, because Chuck Pagano was pure money. He gave us some of our favorite drops in different periods of the show.
It's not trigonometry.
And it was just marvelous. Well, now there is a bidding war on Chuck Pagano, not as a head coach, but as a defensive coordinator. And he is being wooed by multiple teams, the Cardinals and Browns. And who else? The Chicago Bears are interested. And there's said to be some other teams also that could be interested in Chuck Pagano as the defensive guru, but reports out of Chicago indicating that the team is debating. They like Pagano, but they could promote from within. But Pagano is getting looks all over the place. He also interviewed for some head coaching jobs. He interviewed for the Packer job and the Bronco job. And I would have praised the Broncos had they hired Chuck Pagano. But instead I had to kill him because of Vic Fangio, who they did hire as the coach. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold Garcia. And we will take some calls here. I think we've taken one call so far because we had a lot of stuff to do. If you want to be part, 877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369. You can be part of the show. It's exciting, Eddie. So exciting to be on the radio. Here we are.
That's for sure. I'm still investigating the egg discussion we had earlier in the show.
Very heated discussion. Now, Music Mike is my consultant. He's my personal chef.
Yeah, this is a little bit. I mean, they're saying that, you know, over easy, over medium, over hard. It's just all, you know, different degrees of how long you cook the egg a little bit. It's still the same thing.
Yeah. This started because we told the story of a basketball player named Enes Kanter for the Knicks. You can go back and hear the whole story. But he had a lot of food, and on his burgers, three of his seven burgers, he had eggs on. And I tried to describe the egg, and so I said cartoon, like the eggs you see in a cartoon. That's the way, with the white on the outside and the yellow.
Over easy.
The yolk in the middle.
Yeah, and Eddie said fried, that's a fried egg. And then immediately we had people saying, pushing back, no, that's sunny side up. That's not a fried egg. That's, you know, so. And so we've gone back and forth. Other terms, as Eddie just mentioned, have been used here. So there's a lot of drama.
I'm standing firm on my fried egg.
I'm not. I like over easy. I like, you know, sunny side up.
I say over easy.
I get if you cook it, someone says maybe they want it, like you with your steak. You like your steak burned. I like mine medium rare, but we're still eating a steak. Yeah. It's not three to five different ways of describing steak.
When I eat my eggs, if you ever prepare me eggs, I like them scrambled and well done burned with a little cheese on top. That's how I like my eggs.
Well, what is it with you and burnt
what's
thing?
Burnt
I like my food cooked.
Do you like
all
your toast burnt too?
Well, no, medium on the toast. I don't really eat toast, but medium on the toast. Well, I used to eat toast. There was a lot of butter too. So or grape
what does
jelly.
Burnt egg look like?
It's scrambled eggs and it's well done. My mom used to make me omelets when I was a little kid, and I said I want my omelet well done with the cheese in the middle. Why are you looking at me like that? Don't look at me like that.
You said burnt egg. I never heard of burnt egg.
Really, I don't know if burn's the right. Well done. Huh? Starting to show the burning process.
Do you like a little hint of the
like
smell
brown, like
of
little
burnt?
Brown.
Is that when you know it's ready to go?
Yeah, a little bit. You know. Interesting. Hey, did you see this actually, our show popped into my head when I saw this story. Did you see what Facebook has banned, Eddie? Something that we got on the show, something a listener sent to us on the show has been banned as a violation of company policy for nudity.
Something someone sent us?
Yes. Yes, Eddie.
Oh, boy. Was it that weird visor thing that the woman that got Donald Sterling in trouble wore?
No. That was good. I remember that. That was fun. We all got those visors?
Yeah, it was giant. Yeah. That was before Roberto.
Yeah.
These giant visors that was in the covered our whole face.
I believe that was in the Jake Warner days back in
I think you're right.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But yeah, remember, the woman that was with the Donald Sterling there, she had a visor covering her face, and we got some of those and we took some pictures. But no, I'll give you the name of the caller that sent us this. Barbara in New Orleans.
Oh, the baby cake.
Yeah. Yeah, the king cake.
The
little baby in the king cake.
The baby is inappropriate?
It's a naked baby, Eddie. You can't have a naked baby on Facebook. Cannot do it. That's child porn. So the people that make king cake, they announced on Facebook that this, the way, if you're not from the South or New Orleans, I didn't really know much. I knew king cakes. I didn't know about this until people started bringing it up. But they have the king cakes, and it's part of the tradition, like Mardi Gras. They have the little, what do you call it, Eddie? I forget what you call it.
It's a plastic baby.
Well, yeah, that's what it is, but yeah. I don't know if there's a term for it. But anyway, they have the little, it's a little baby in the cake, and then whoever gets that, the tradition is, has to then buy the next cake.
Yeah, and you got the baby.
And I've gotten you cake. And
it's a Mexican tradition, too, the baby cake.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whoever gets the baby's got to have food for everybody.
Yeah, remember we ate a lot of the cake, and we were worried that one of us had consumed the baby. That we had eaten the baby, and we were concerned that we might have an issue there. But anyway, no, Facebook announced that according to the company that makes the cake announced that Facebook notified them that the king cake is offensive. It's a violation.
Oh,
of,
come on.
Yeah. It says this ad running because it includes an image or video depicting excessive skin or nudity, which includes medical diagrams depicting external organs of reproduction, breasts, or butt. This kind of material is sensitive in nature, Facebook said. And then it says what to do next, remove any images or video that contain nudity. So Facebook is offended by the little baby doll in the cake.
I don't recall. I don't remember looking at it that closely, but I don't recall the baby and the baby cake having, you know, all
junk?
The baby parts. Yeah,
that doesn't.
Baby junk. I don't recall that at all.
I didn't examine the junk of
But I think you would notice that, right? If there was
you
something.
You would likely notice that. That would be something you would notice, I would think. I think you say, oh, look at that. That's interesting. Why is that there? Yeah. I think you'd say that, right? Wouldn't you say that? I think you would say that. It'd be a natural human reaction.
I would be a little surprised if that was, that detailed. Yeah.
Interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's Lame Joke of the Week.
Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. These are actual jokes sent in by actual listeners. Now, I had a lot of jokes, so we might have to spill this in the next hour, depending on how this goes, because I want to try to get as many of these on as we can, because we want to encourage you to keep sending the jokes in. When you send them in to BenMallerShow@gmail.com or reach us on Twitter or Facebook. But most people send the jokes in on my email account, BenMallerShow@gmail.com. Put jokes in the headline. Typically how it goes. I'll read the joke. I'll bounce it off Eddie. He'll bounce it back to me. Roberto will play this if it's funny. He'll play this if it's not funny, and this if it could go either way. And then Koopa Loop over there, he's got his offensive jokes. Roberto's got his racial joke of the week, which is a new feature on the show. Very offensive. It's all in good fun. All in good fun. And we have Weed Man Hippie who... Do you want to do this, Weed Man, or you just want to wait till next hour?
Ben, I love you. Make me laugh.
All right. Very good. What do you call a sleeping bull?
A sleeping bull. I don't know, Ben. What do you call that?
A bulldozer. So Alex, the
serious Sean joke.
Alex, the cynical. What do you call an underwater dog?
An underwater dog. What do you call that, Ben?
A subwoofer.
That's funny, too. Right. Ding, ding, ding.
Did you hear that our colleague Steve Harvey apparently had a little issue with his wife this week?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it was a family feud, Eddie. It was amazing. All right, it's Big Ben. Shut up. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Blair in Maine's mom. This is from Kenny in Memphis, by the way. Blair in Maine's mom caught him playing with a little kid's train set by himself, Eddie.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Blair tossed a blanket over it to cover his tracks.
Gotta do it.
Chris in Houston has an irrational fear of empty spaces.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nothing scares him.
I don't get it.
Well, it's empty and nothing. All right, you guys.
Oh, he got no brain.
He's not the only one.
Oh, boy. What's your Wonderlic score? All right, pressing on here. It has been a really hard week for the state of Alabama, Eddie.
Oh, yes, of course. The Crimson Tide losing.
Probably the hardest week since they shut down the dating site. It's all relative. All right. That's a cheap shot, Bill. Bill in Iowa, that's a cheap shot. The football fans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a bunch of racists, Eddie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've already started the Aryans Nation. That's not right, man. Gordon in Tacoma. Kuba Loop, do you have anything over there, Kuba?
Yes, I do, Ben. What is the difference between Whitney Houston and Jack Daniels?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Jack comes alive when you add Coke.
Why did Ben Maller lose his radio job to Carl Malone? That's true, I did.
Why, Ben?
Because I was mailing it in, Eddie. That's why. I was clear. Mailman.
He was the one that was mailing
it in. Well, he did mail it in. That's Kurt from Earth who said that. He sent that in. Why were Ben Maller listeners punished? Why did I punish my P1 fans over the holidays? Let's read it like that.
I don't know, Ben. Why did you do that?
I apparently provided them with no show and forced them to walk the plank. So that's Mike. Thank you. Shut up. All right. It's not that. Please, relax. Big Ben's lame jokes of the week. Actual jokes sent in by actual listeners. What happened when Andy Reid, or what happens rather, when Andy Reid takes a shower?
I don't know what happens when Andy Reid takes a shower.
The tub does not get wetted. It's amazing. I don't know how that's Kurt from Earth. Who is Bartolo Colon's favorite hockey player?
Bartolo Colon's favorite hockey player. I don't know. Who is that?
Marc-Andre McFleury is his favorite. That's Kurt from Earth. Coop, you have anything else, Coop? What do you got over
there? No, I'm good.
All right. Roberto, would you like to give your offensive joke? Now, you said, Roberto, I felt kind of, I sent you the joke, and I thought, boy, I could get in trouble with HR for sending you this joke, but you asked for these jokes, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, all right, very good.
So, oh, no.
Ben.
Yes,
did
Robert.
You know that us Mexicans don't like Trump's border wall?
You do not like Donald Trump's idea for a border wall?
No.
Why not?
But you know what? We're against it, but we'll get over it, Ben. Underneath it, we'll get over it.
All right, there you go. You'll get over the wall. There you go. All right, very good. Thank you for that, Roberto. And who sent that to you again? Do you know who sent that to you?
EEK in
EEK. WEEK.
EEK.
You got missiles.
All right. Well, Weed Man Hippie is. shut up. Weed Man Hippie is poor, Eddie.
Weed Man Hippie is poor, yeah.
Yeah, he's so poor he can't even afford to listen to Johnny Cash. That's how poor he is. That's Kurt from Earth. Why doesn't Weed Man have more children?
I don't know. Why doesn't Weed Man have more children?
He only shoots blanks, Eddie. I don't know what that's. That's Josh. That's not right. Come on, man. That's not right.
He's not laughing. I don't hear him laughing.
All right.
Weed Man, you're not laughing.
What do Coop and Roberto both...
Shut
up.
It's funny.
What do Coop and Roberto both regularly make?
I don't know. What do Coop and Roberto regularly make?
The short list. They both make the short list there.
No, they're not laughing at that.
They're not. They don't enjoy that. Let's see here. All right. I can't read that. All right. Did you hear they are remaking an 80s board game and using Weed Man as their inspiration?
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, they're calling it Hungry, Hungry Hippies. Just Josh. And here's the closer here for now. We'll have some more next
Better
hour.
Be funny.
Why doesn't Roberto carry a Discover card?
Well, I don't know. Why doesn't Roberto have a Discover card?
Because the government said you should always have a Visa.
I'm
not shut up.